Getting closer to the end of the meeting, and as Brother Tom said, this is the second to the last night, and I'm full. I think I've eaten more this week than I have in the last 6 months, but it's all been good, and I want to thank you guys. Me and my family are very appreciative with everything you guys have done for us. As I asked throughout the week, I do ask again tonight that you grab your Bible, follow along, make sure what I am teaching is from God's Word, and make sure that it is correct. Because many times people stand up here and they spout out a lot of verses and a lot of thus sayest, thou sayest, and those sayest, but yet they're not in context. We need to make sure that everything is in context so that we represent our Lord's Word correctly. Tonight, I'm going to talk about something a lot of people don't want to hear. We're going to talk about hell. It's not a place you want to spend eternity. A lot of times people think, well, there is no hell, or teach that there is no hell. I know there's a lot of denominational teaching that eliminates hell altogether. Well, the Bible is very clear on it. We're going to talk about it tonight. We're going to use the verses that come from the Scripture. There's a lot of speculation about hell. What we need to understand is this. If heaven is real, then so is hell. Also, if heaven is eternal presence with God, then hell is the eternal presence separated from God. Today we want to look at hell as a place in which sadly most people will find themselves for the eternity. Facts about hell. Hell is a demonstration of God's justice. And a lot of people say, well, that's harsh justice. Well, God says in 2 Thessalonians, this is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are also suffering, since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to grant relief to you who are afflicted, as well as to us. When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus, they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might. No one wants to hear that. No one wants to hear that there's a place where God is not. And this is what hell is. Hell is a place. Let's look at hell, the hell in the Bible, because there's a lot of misunderstanding. Now, there is a reference to hell, which is actually a reference to the grave. In Isaiah 14:15, it says, But you are brought down to Sheol, or hell, to the far reaches of the pit. This is one description of hell. A lot of times we talk about how there, when they translate words, there's not too many English words that go along with it. And this is one of them. We want to make sure that we filter through. There's also hell, which is considered Hades. And in Hades, or hell, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off, and Lazarus at his side. Now that's the parable, or the story that Jesus was talking about, the rich man Lazarus. We know that it's not hell, the final resting place. We know it is a temporary place, which most people call Hades. It's easier to determine that from what the real hell is. And then we have Gehenna, what is the real hell, the final burning place that is in the Bible. So you serpents, you brood of vipers, how are you to escape being sentenced to hell? And that's Matthew 23:33. There's three different descriptions in the Bible of hell. The one I want to talk about tonight is that last one, the Gehenna. Hell is a choice we make while alive, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in this body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of God, we persuade others, but what we are is known to God, and I hope it is also known, to your conscience. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We are all going to make a choice. Each and every one of us, every human being ever born, is going to make a choice if they reach the age of accountability. They're going to have to choose whether or not they want to go to heaven or hell. I'm going to give you a simple little analogy. If you want to go to heaven, there's something you have to do. If you want to go to hell, don't do anything. It's the easiest way to get there. Hell is going to be full of a lot of people that didn't do anything. It's also going to be full of a lot of people that did do things, but they did them all incorrectly. The descriptions we have, there's six descriptive terms of hell that we have throughout the Scripture. There's not a whole lot description of hell, same way with heaven. We get a little bit of the insight of what place heaven's going to be like. It talks about streets of gold, the pearl gates. It's just wonderful. It's a beautiful place. The most precious thing we could think of is the description of heaven. And my grandmother told me this when I was little. She goes, what the Bible says about heaven is not real. She said, what the Bible is trying to tell us is what we can picture. Heaven is far beyond what you can picture. But as our human minds can only focus on earthly things, it's described to us in earthly terms. Well, hell is going to be described in earthly terms too. But it's going to be far beyond what these terms are describing. There's going to be an eternal stench. Have you ever smelled rotten eggs? Sulfur is what it describes. And the beast was captured, and with it, the false prophet, who in his presence had done the signs by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped its image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur. That's Revelation 19:20. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, and some versions say brimstone, which is the same thing, where the beast and the false prophets were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. That description, forever and ever, is the same description you have for heaven. Eternal. Eternal life with God. Eternal damnation or death in hell. It's the same amount of time. It's going to be dark. This is the reason I can't go to hell, is because I've been scared of the dark since I was a child. You think I'm joking. You turn these lights out and you listen to me. I'll scream just like that little grandbaby of mine back there. She'll have to come up here and all save me. But I'm serious about that. I am scared of the dark. Wild waves of sea, casting up the foam of their own shame. Wandering stars from whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. That's in Jude 13. Then the king said to the attendants, bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Outer darkness. This is pitch black. Have you ever been in a cave? I mean, I've been in Missouri and been in a couple of caves. When you close your eyes or you're in your house and you turn your lights out, it gets dark. If you ever walk into the cave far enough to where you're inside, there's no light anywhere, and you turn your flashlight out, it's pitch black. It's an eerie feeling. You can't see anything. A lot of times people say, well, blind people understand darkness. That's true. But yet, this darkness is an eternal darkness of just, you're not going to see anything. You're not going to be able to know what's around you. You're going to be, well, I'm going to be petrified. Well, no, I'm not, because I'm going to be in heaven. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. These different verses are saying the same thing. This place is dark. It stinks. It's not a good description. There are waterless springs and mists driven by a storm. For them the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved. That's in 2 Peter. The most stinkiest place you could ever think of, the darkest place you could ever think of, and an unquenchable fire. What it means by unquenchable, you burn your hand, most of us have, you burn your hand, or finger, or body part, or something. That pain goes away eventually. There may be scarring, there may be tissue damage, but the pain goes away. This is an unquenchable fire. This is a fire that's burning. You're in darkness. You're smelling this, the worst stench you could ever smell. And these are the verses that go with it. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. That's Mark 9:43. Now, I want to clarify something here. That does not mean go around and cut off your hand and your foot. That's talking about something else, is what I've been taught. Because when I was growing up, I always thought, you do something wrong, cut your hand off. But I've been schooled and taught a little better since then. But it's an unquenchable fire. It's not going to be quenched. It's not going to go out. It's not going to stop. We see the parable. He asked, send Lazarus to dip his finger in water, to touch my tongue. It's unquenchable. It's a burning sensation that doesn't go away. And if your hand or your foot cause you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to enter life crippled or lame than for two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. That's Matthew 18:8. Darkness, stench, fire. And we're only halfway through. An eternal pain. And throw them into the furnace. In that place there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. When it's talking about gnashing of teeth there, it's talking about your teeth being grit together in pain. Have you ever hit your hand or your foot and your teeth lock up and you're just like so much pain? This is a pain you're not going to be able to quench. You're going to be in constant agony. It's not going to be something that's going to go away. And we'll cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's Matthew 24:51. We have verses for all these, and these come from God's Word. In the place where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth, when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourself cast out. That's Luke 13:28. This is real, people. This is not a joke. The world thinks this is funny. They think, oh, it's just a side humor of Christianity. This is what awaits the world or anyone who does not follow God. These are scriptures coming from God's Word describing a place that I don't want to go. And I'm pretty sure no one else does. I don't know anyone alive. Well, I'll take it back. I know two people in my life that said they wanted to go to hell. And they were idiots. But no one plans or thinks about, when I die, I want to burn. I want to be in the worst, stinkiest place. I want to be in the darkest place. I want to be away from God. I want to be in pain. You don't hear anybody out there in the world saying that. You hear people saying, there is no hell. Or it's not that bad. Or we'll get used to it. Or me and my friends will be there. Well, I hate to tell you, this is a place you're going to be alone. And you're going to be alone thinking. An eternal worm. This is a thought process. Where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. What that's speaking about, you're going to know you're burning. You're going to know you're burning because of the way you lived. How do I know that? Well, I'm going to give you a for instance. This is a for instance for those who know God. For if after they escape the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they're again entangled therein, and the latter end is worse than the beginning. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandments delivered to them. 2 Peter chapter 2, 20 and 21. You're going to know you had heaven in your hands. You had the key. You had the blood of Christ to get you there. You're going to know you could have made it there, but you chose to go the opposite direction. Your choice is going to be eaten at you for eternity. You're going to go, what if I would have just once time listened to what God said instead of shoving it to the side? If I would have just listened to what that man was preaching, I would be right now in heaven. You would know that you had it in your hand and you chose to turn your back on God. That's the worm. That's what's going to be eating at you for eternity. While you're in pain, in darkness, with the most horrific smell you could ever smell. And an unquenchable fire. But if that's not bad enough, you're going to be eternally separated from God. I'm going to step over here, which I always do whenever I give an opinion. The Bible's there. This is Alan Duvall's opinion. It's not Scripture, so don't take it as Scripture. I've studied and read, and this I came to this conclusion. When it talks about those going to heaven, you stand before Christ and you're being judged. And He says, enter into your rest. You go through and you're in heaven with God the Father. But those on the other side go to hell. So it's just a thought of myself. Do they even get to see the Father at any point in time? That's just a thought, idea I had. I don't want anyone ever think that's me preaching something that's not in there. But that's just something I thought of. And I was thinking about when I studied. But it's eternal separation from God. You're not going to be with the Father. You're not going to be with the Son, the Spirit. You're going to be in a place by yourself. Even if you're not by yourself, you're in total darkness, so what is it going to matter? The world shows the hell of, I guess, comedy. They always show hell in the sense of it. They did a couple of TV movies about them, comedies with Adam Sandler, showing it how funny it was with being in hell. It's great. Everybody's having a good time down there. They have cartoons about it. But when it comes down to it, it's not a joke. It's not a laughing matter. You're going to be separated from God for eternity. The Creator. The one who created you and created us and everything, you don't get to be around. And those verses come from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of our Lord and from the glory of His might. We're going to all die. Each and every one of us will die. We get to choose where we're going to go after we die. When we sit there and think about it, it's not really right up in our faces until someone close to us dies. Then we start seeing death. We start thinking about death. We start wondering about what's next. The Bible tells us what's next is up to us. We get to choose. We will die. That's a given. We will all die. And that's in the Bible as well. You can turn over to Hebrew writer, writes in chapter 9, verse 27. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes the judgment. We're all going to die once. Every one of us is going to die one time. As Skyler says, one time. Everybody will die. Death means separation. That's all it means. If you look up the definition, death means your body is going to separate from your spirit. And your spirit is going to return to God. Now, the second death is that separation from God. That's what it's talking about, the second death. Each of us will die. Each of us will breathe our last. Or those of us who are alive when Christ returns, we will be caught up. But we will be transformed. We will be separated from our bodies. And when we stand before the Lord, we will be judged according to what we did in this life. According to these words right here, this will be our judge. Are we living by these words? Or are we using them as a shield, as a guard? As a plaything. Are we playing church? I played church for many years, guys. I knew how to play it real good. I was playing it better than most people. But playing church is not going to get you into heaven. Playing church is going to send you to this place we're talking about right now. And the place we're talking about right now It's not a pretty place. It's an eternal stench, eternal darkness, eternal unquenchable fire, eternal pain, an eternal worm going through your mind. Have you ever done something in your life and you thought, if I could just go back and change that one thing, if I could go back and straighten that one thing out? When you're dead, there is no time. Now's the time. You change it now, before you die. Otherwise, you will be separated from God for eternity. That's the closest picture I could find to give you an idea of what's awaiting those who do not love God, those who do not obey God, and those who do not obey the Scripture. I said the other day, and I was corrected, it wasn't really wrong, but I was given some good advice, good wisdom. I said the other day one sin would keep you out of hell, but let me add to that. One unrepented sin will send you to hell. That's not a place you want to be. That's not hell, guys. That's just a picture of somebody with their hands over their face with flames coming up the side. Hell's going to be worse than that. The torment you're going to go through is going to be beyond anything you can even imagine. Because the glory of heaven is far beyond anything we can imagine. The glory of God is far beyond anything a human mind can conceive. Hell sounds like a bad place. But as bad as it sounds, it's worse. Because that's only a description that we can understand. I pray that no one ever goes there, but guess what? Many people are already going to be there. Sad thing is, it was never created for us. When man sinned, guess what? God had a place already prepared for the devil and his angels. Remember? He created a place called hell for those who rebelled in heaven. Man started sinning. Guess what? We got a place already for him. It was never intended for us. It wasn't created for mankind. It was not created for any human to go there. But man decided they didn't want to do what God wanted. They wanted to do their own thing. And if that's your choice, do what you want to do, because that's your end, results. If you love God and you fear God, you'll follow this. Freedom from hell. You hear God's word, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You believe it. What has been taught to you, what has been you've read from the Scripture. Make sure it's correct. Study God's word. Make sure you're doing what's right. If you find something you're doing that's wrong, stop. That's what the Scriptures are intended for, is to help us, to guide us, so that we don't end up in a place like hell, so that we can end up in a place that's called heaven. And we continue going down. We repent. You continue to repent, no matter how many sins you commit, no matter how many times it's the same sin. Repent. Ask forgiveness. Go to your knees and pray to God to forgive you. Because hell's not a good place. Even descriptions of it. And I joke about being scared of the dark, but it terrifies me. And with all these other things on top of it, my goal is to strive to do God's will. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God before man. And be baptized so your sins can be washed away. It's the only way your sins are forgiven. If someone told you somewhere in your life that all you had to do was believe, they're a liar. They're working for the other side. Because if you think all you have to do is believe to get to heaven, sorry, that's not it. There's more to it. The Bible tells us you have to repent, confess, be baptized to wash away your sins, and you must remain faithful to your dying breath. That's freedom from hell. That's what gets us on the path to going to heaven. If you're here tonight and you want to go to heaven and you have not been baptized, think very carefully about your life. Have you committed sin? Do you know that you committed sin? If you have, and you die right now, you're not going to heaven because your sins are on you. To get rid of those sins, you come forward, you talk to the elders, the preacher, someone, ask them for guidance. understanding and be baptized, immersed, buried in water. Not sprinkled, not poured, buried. It's an immersion. You rise out of that water, your sins are gone. And then when you step on your toes, you mess up, you sin, ask God to forgive you. Get on your knees, repent, and go forward with your life. If you're not a Christian, you'd like to become a Christian, or if you are a Christian and you're struggling, you're having trouble, you need help, you need guidance, come forward and let us help you. If we can do anything tonight, please make it known as together we stand and sing.